Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavad Gita, as it is, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Chapter 6, Text 37, Arjuna Uvacha. Ayati shraddhayopeto yogach chalita manasaha aprapya yoga sangsiddhim kangatin krishna gacchati. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and thus does not achieve perfection in mysticism? Purport. The path of self-realization or mysticism is described in the Bhagavad Gita. The basic principle of self-realization is knowledge that the living entity is not the material body, but that he is different from it, and that his happiness is in eternal life, bliss, and knowledge. These are transcendental, beyond both body and mind. Self-realization is sought by the path of knowledge, by the practice of the Eightfold System, or by Bhakti Yoga. In each of these processes, one has to realize the constitutional position of the living entity, his relationship with God, and the activities whereby he can establish the lost link and achieve the highest perfectional stage of Krishna consciousness. Following any of the above mentioned three methods, one is sure to reach the supreme goal sooner or later. This was asserted by the Lord in the second chapter. Even a little endeavor on the transcendental path offers a great hope for deliverance. Out of these methods, the path of Bhakti Yoga is especially suitable for this age because it is the most direct method of God realization. To be doubly assured, Arjuna is asking Lord Krishna to confirm his former statement. His means Krishna's. One may sincerely accept the path of self-realization, but the process of cultivation of knowledge and the practice of the Eightfold Yoga System are generally very difficult for this age. Therefore, despite constant endeavor, one may fail for many reasons. First of all, one may not be sufficiently serious about following the process. Two, pursue the transcendental path is more or less to declare war on the illusory energy. Consequently, whenever a person tries to escape the clutches of the illusory energy, she tries to defeat the practitioner by various allurements. A conditioned soul is already allured by the modes of material energy, and there is every chance of being allured again, even while performing transcendental discipline. This is called yogach chalita manasaha, deviation from the transcendental path. Arjuna is inquisitive to know the results of deviation from the path of self-realization. Arjuna uvacha, ayati shraddhayopeto yogach chalita manasaha aprapya yoga sangsiddhim kangatim krishna gacchati. Arjuna said, O Krishna, what is the destination of the unsuccessful transcendentalist who in the beginning takes to the process of self-realization with faith, but who later desists due to worldly mindedness and then does not attain perfection in mysticism. Krishna, here in Bhagavad Gita, is talking about something much more difficult than Arjuna perceived of as being difficult. Arjuna, he didn't see the fighting as such as difficult. For any of us to be involved in such a fight wouldn't be difficult. It would just be, we'd be finished within about 20 seconds of attempting to be in such a battle. Of course, fighting is generally difficult for anyone, even such a great warrior as Arjuna, and certainly when lined up against such great fighters as Bhishma, Drona, Pramukata. But Arjuna found it very difficult to imagine attacking Bhishma, Drona, Pramukata, the great personalities who he highly revered. So that was very difficult. But Krishna is speaking about becoming self-realized and free from all material attachments, which is a lot more difficult. And what to speak of us? Just as for us to even imagine being in such a battle, we wouldn't even want to be there in a subsidiary role. Apart from the lakhs and lakhs of soldiers, there must have been more cooks, carriers, water carriers, people to erect the tents, people to look at, doctors, people to drag off the dead bodies, washermen, prostitutes, possibly. People had any energy left at the end of the day. So there must have been a lot of people there, but I don't know if any of us could even be there in a subsidiary role, because it's such a ghastly scene. But Krishna presents Arjuna with a much more difficult proposition to become free from all material attachments. And Krishna is outlining different systems of attempting to do that. And Arjuna here asks, well, what happens if you try and it doesn't work? Then what? You're a failure on both sides. You left your material prospects and your spiritual prospects also failed. But Krishna will assure that Nahi Kalyana Krit Kaschid Durgatim Tata Gacchati. One who engages in beneficial activities, they never get a bad result from doing so. And Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, discusses how especially the jnanis and the yogis, they're more likely to face failure. It's never really a failure, because neha bhikkhu na ashosti pratyavaya na vidyate swapnam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even little endeavor, in sincere endeavor for self-realization, one is never the loser in that. One is at least saved from the worst degradation, at the very least. But especially on the path of bhakti, one is guaranteed success, because Krishna personally helps such a devotee. Now, it may seem also that in bhakti there are failures. People take to bhakti and they try and it doesn't work. It may seem like that. Srila Prabhupada, I believe twice in Bhagavad Gita, quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that Narada speaks to Vyasa, Tyaktva swadharmam charanam bhujam hare bhujanda pakvota patetato yadi yatra kvava bhadrama bhudamu shakim kovarta aptam bhajato swadharmata. The purport of this is that if one leaves one's material activities, to worship the lotus feet of Krishna. And in an imperfect, incomplete state, bhajan apakva, he falls down. Still, there is no inauspiciousness for him. On the other hand, there's no real auspiciousness simply in following one's material duties very perfectly. And material duties here means duties within the varnashram system, unless there's worship of Krishna. If one is simply following chari varnashrame, jodi Krishna nahi bhaje, swakama karite she pare rorave pare maje. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Chaitanya Charitamrita summarizes the Bhagavatam verse that says that even if one is following all one's varnashram duties but doesn't worship Krishna, then he may do his works, his swakarma, his prescribed duties very nicely, but he falls into hell. So there's no real question of failure in bhakti yoga. In one sense it can be said failure, but it's not failure, it can be called a setback. And even materially we find that people who are considered successful, they have to go through much defeat on the way to success. Or they have many setbacks. And because they're willing to again and again apply themselves to the process of trying to be successful materially, then they may be successful. They may not be also. They may be defeated again and again and again. But there are many examples. there's a folk story, it may be true, it may not be true, we don't know, of one king in Scotland during the period when the Scots were fighting the English. I believe he was called Robert the Bruce, who was defeated again and again and again by the English, and again he'd regroup his armies, and one time he had just been defeated again, and he took shelter in a cave to hide from the English troops, and he was completely discouraged. And then he saw a spider within the cave trying to climb up, and it would fall down, it would climb up and fall down and climb up and fall down and climb up and fall down, and eventually it went up. And he thought, okay, I'll do the same thing. And he went back and he won the fight. Similarly, we hear of the King Puruvara. Alexander and Puruvara. Well, it depends which version of the story you accept. The Greek version or the Indian version of Alexander and Puruvara. I was going to say this Edison, what's his name? Thomas Edison? He said he went through several thousand attempts to create an electric light bulb before he was successful. Is it? You all learned that at school? Muhammad, oh, we don't want to say his example. Muhammad Ghazni. What did he do? He attacked? 17 times he attacked Delhi. Oh, Somnath Temple. Finally, he was. He saw an ant trying to lift something. It seems like a standard folk story. Just like the joke, not it's a sick joke, of in Afghanistan it used to be that the men walked in front of their wives, now the women walk in front of their husbands. What happened? And the answer is landmines. So that joke was there in Vietnam also. So it may be a generic. There are many things like that, actually. I'll get off topic if I go on that. All right, I'll say one or two. When I was visiting Majidpur, which is the village where Bhaktisiddhanta Babaji was born, one local Muslim boy, very, very with happiness that someone from his village had become a Mahapurush, That word's known among the Muslims in Bangladesh also. He told the story of how Bhaktisiddhas Babaji invited all the local sadhus for a meal, but they wouldn't come because they didn't like him, or they disrespected him, and no one would come. And so anyway, he had a whole big feast prepared and no one came, and the followers were thinking, why is he doing this when no one's agreed to come? And then he said, go and call all the dogs at Navadweep. And all the dogs came and they all sat very politely and took the feast very nicely. But actually that story is told about Radharaman Charan Das Babaji, not about Bhaktisiddhas Babaji, but it gets told about someone else. Another story I've heard in various ways related to different Babaji's and this and that. I heard it about Jagannath Das Babaji, I heard it in Vrindavan and this and that, that one disciple came up and said that, well, in the night, and said, oh, there's a big festival going on the other side of the river. Can I go and join it? And Babaji said, no, please let me join it. No, let me join it. No, okay, if you want, go. But don't eat anything there. So he went to the disciple went to the festival. He was given food, but he said that, well, I can't eat, my guru told me not to eat. So just give me something. And he wrapped it up in the leaves and brought it back. And the next morning he opened it and it was full of blood and mucus and hairs and bones. And Babaji Maharaj said, no one eats in the middle of the night. There was a ghosts festival. That's why I told you not to go. So I've heard that story in Vrindavan also. So someone is told, when you're visiting Vrindavan, but when you come back at night, don't go on this alley, go some other way. But he thought, well, this alley is a shortcut, so I'll go anyway. And he saw there's a big festival going on, he was invited in, and same thing. He left and he brought this, and then he brought the prasadam wrapped in a cloth. In the morning he opened it and saw it. So, you know, these stories like that. Which one? About Sanatan Goswami. Yeah, you've heard it in relation to Sanatan Goswami. Yeah. I've heard stories told about myself that it's another sannyasi. Then what is that? There's the story of the detective who is sent by the enemies to spy on the sadhu and find some fault, and he ends up becoming his disciple. There was actually a case of that with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but it seems to be a common one that they send someone to try and make him fall down and they become a disciple. That happened with Haridas Thakur and the prostitute. But anyway. Yes, which I'm a failure in devotion. I'm a failure because I went off the topic of the lecture and I can't remember what I was supposed to speak about. Oh, anyway, what is the loss? Kovartha aptang bhajatang swadharmataha. So, in relation to this project here, it might seem that it's a failure or that it's not going very well. That's almost to be expected because it's not easy. And Srila Prabhupada said 50% of my work is not done. Maybe he said it the other way, 50% of my work I still have to do in establishing Varnashram. If we consider what a tremendous achievement it was to establish Krishna consciousness in the Western world, if we think of, if there's another 50% to do, that's as much as Srila Prabhupada did already in terms of quality and quantity, and it's not going to be an easy thing. So we can expect some setbacks. One major problem which booby-trapped the whole project here from the very beginning, which we didn't realize due to some wrong information or whatever, is that the rainfall generally here is insufficient to support more than one crop a year, which it's possible to live on one crop a year, but it's not easy. and you can't you can't expect more than a subsistence level of living. So we don't want to subject our devotees to that. It's already difficult enough for them to even think of living in this kind of situation. So it may seem like a failure, and people will criticize, oh, Varnashram, you know, that's all nonsense, it can't be done. And maybe later, a few generations later, and this Gurukul, that's all so nonsense and all this and that. But we shouldn't give up. Just as Srila Prabhupada, he was in Jhansi. His project for establishing Krishna consciousness in Jhansi, he wasn't only thinking of Jhansi, he was thinking of a worldwide, he founded a movement, the League of Devotees, which is very clearly meant for worldwide dissemination of Krishna consciousness. Now Jhansi might not seem the best place to start a worldwide movement, or even an India-wide movement for that matter. Maybe in Jhansi you wouldn't expect to do much more than Jhansi district or the area surrounding it, because probably most people in India have never even heard of Jhansi, let alone people around the world. So superficially it was a failure, but Srila Prabhupada persisted. He went to America, nothing was happening. After months and months and months, there was no sign of any progress. Srila Prabhupada was, materially, he was surviving, practically, that's all. Just about surviving. But he pushed on, and Krishna eventually rewarded him, bringing the Ganga to what is now Ganga Saga. That was eventually done by Bhagirath Maharaj after several generations of trying. So, Srila Prabhupada also quoted in this regard, that comes up in that book, The Perfection of Yoga. There's English saying, actually, failure is the pillar of success. And he quotes the example of Vishvamitra, who failed in his yoga process, but he went back and he persisted. He had a long lifetime. We don't have that luxury. if we had the lifetime of the yogis had previously, then that would be several, well, many generations by today's lifespan of 70 years, which is considered the average lifetime. So it may seem like we wasted time and effort, but in Krishna consciousness, nothing's lost if we're sincerely trying to serve Krishna. Srila Prabhupada also gave the example of Jatayu. Is it Jatayu or Jatayu? Who attempted to stop Ravana abducting Sita, although it was impossible. There's no question of Jatayu being able to stop Ravana. But he tried. And he failed. But he had the success of being accepted by Lord Ramachandra, who personally performed the funeral ceremonies for him. And if Ramachandra Bhagavan had not met Jatayu, then there wouldn't have been even any clue as to what had happened to Sita. So he performed some valuable service. So we've tried. It's not finished, but it's a rough start, you can say. Hopefully we've learned many things. We should always learn in what we're doing. One point that I often stress when we're talking about Varnashram, and that's true not only in Varnashram, but in running the whole society for Krishna consciousness, is that even though making farms, growing crops for people who are not used to all these things, bringing people and convincing them to take part in this, that's not easy. But the most difficult thing and the vital part is building communities, and that means devotees working together. That's more difficult than living without electricity, having everyone working together. Because Kali Yuga is the age of quarrel and hypocrisy. Kalaha. Kali means kalaha, which means quarrel. So it's very difficult, even among devotees, often it seemed to be very difficult to bring people together, even though devotees may be sincere, but they have different outlooks, different attitudes, and bringing people together is and keeping them together is very difficult. But it can be done. This particular project is going through a rough patch. We can say the main reason for that is not the lack of rainfall. That's a long-term difficulty. But the main reason is because of some very poor human dealings, the way devotees have dealt with each other. But we should learn from that. Also, we should try to learn from that. You might think that I'm very heavy and nasty and rough, but I assure you, I was much worse previously. So that, which parallels the common joke, just to lighten things up here, that you often see in people's houses, especially in the West, not that very often, but time to time, some sign put up that please excuse this house being so dirty and untidy, but don't worry, it's usually worse. So it's something like that. But I was working for many years under the guidance of Prabhu Vishnu Swami, which although people may say about him, well, he's a failure, but as far as I'm concerned, having spent many years serving under him, his activities were certainly not a failure. He did so many good things. So at some point I saw that he's so much better at dealing with people than I am. So I tried to learn. I deliberately tried to learn something from that. And so I was worse. So we can learn and go forward. There's no failure. In this Varnashram experiment, we can expect there will be setbacks, but we should learn. One thing we can learn from this, there are many things we can learn here. One thing is to be more careful before we settle on a site for any project, because the water scarcity makes things very difficult here. Even if you have a good team and good leadership and everything else all favorable, if the land for any reason is very difficult, then it makes everything so much more difficult. Here the land itself is quite good, but the lack of rainfall is a problem. In In the farm near Belgaum, the land is very poor. They have plenty of rainfall. Too much. It washes away, because the soil is sloping, it washes away any topsoil. But the land is very poor, which makes everything very difficult. So that's one thing we should learn. Many other things to learn. That's up to the individual's concern to see how to improve. Another thing to learn is that, well, we shouldn't expect utopia also. We should never think that everything's going to be completely perfect. That's possible in the reign of Lord Ramachandra. But after defeating Ravana, then everything was nice. But then again, for circumstantial reasons, Sita had to go away, and that caused so much grief to everyone. So we shouldn't expect utopia is one thing. Then we can learn about dealing with different devotees, how to bring out the... how Srila Prabhupada was expert in bringing out the service spirit of devotees. So that's a great art to bring out the service spirit. Of course, Varnashram means we're dealing with all different kinds of people. So we may be dealing with people at various levels of motivation. Not everyone's motivation is going to be completely pure. But in beginning a Varnashram project, we have to have devotees who are really dedicated and understand the purpose, and who are willing to sacrifice, as devotees here have sacrificed and given much dedication and commitment, and that is to their great credit. That should never be overlooked. How to bring out the service attitude. Now this is a very important point, because it's possible to bring out the service attitude of others by giving, as Srila Prabhupada uses the word allurement several times in this verse, by some allurements. I remember years ago the first Namahata festivals being held in Mayapur. This is after Srila Prabhupada had passed away, and I heard there were prizes being given for those who had made the most devotees. Prizes like bicycles, which in those days was quite a gift. So the idea is that the persons, they can get around more to cycle. And I thought, wait a minute, what's going on here? I'm giving prizes for making devotees? What's going on? It seems to set the wrong kind of tone, which is why I'm also not in favor of these Gita competitions, Gita Champions League and all this kind. And they give prizes, 2 lakhs worth of prizes, and it sets the whole wrong tone for approaching Bhagavad Gita. Approaching Bhagavad Gita in a spirit of service, imbibing Bhagavad Gita, the teachings of Bhagavad Gita should take us beyond such petty considerations as getting some material gain or showing ourselves to be better than others. I understood Gita better than you. I'm better than you. But this is more like Duryodhana's attitude than Arjuna's attitude. So it is possible to induce people to serve Krishna by various material allurements, but that won't inculcate a spirit of selfless service that leads to devotional service. Or we may say, well, we're making facilities so that people can come and serve. That's all right. As Srila Prabhupada wrote, that he was at Krishna Balaram temple in Vrindavan, he was making some facilities because the American and European disciples, they're not used to the normal austere way of life that people live in Vrindavan. So he made... The facilities weren't much. I mean, it's rooms with rooms and showers and toilets and fans, which but most people in Vrindavan didn't have those things at that time. Well, they had rooms, but not toilets and showers and running water and fans. Most people didn't have those things, electric fans. So there's some minimal facility, but it's not exactly offering sense gratification, but it's offering some facility for living. So it is possible to induce people to serve by some material allurement. And even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur clearly indicated that he gave titles and positions to devotees just to keep them engaged in devotional service, because they need that for boosting their ego, so to speak. But that's not... That won't help people. That can help to get a lot of things done, but it won't help people to advance in Krishna consciousness. So you may say, well, why did Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur do it? Because he wanted to get a lot of things done. He wanted to establish a mission, which needs capable people to do various activities. So in all these activities, pure devotional service, selfless service to Krishna, that has to be the thread running through. And in that endeavor, there's no loss. There's no loss. As Satsarup Maharaj wrote in Srila Prabhupada Lilamrita, a very important observation, that Srila Prabhupada, after several months in America, had no disciples, no movement, no apparent progress, and for months and months he'd just been living and trying to preach, but really there's nothing to show for it. But Satsarup Maharaj made the comment that even if later on the whole movement had not developed and so many devotees had come, still Prabhupada's endeavor was successful because he was following the order of his spiritual master and he was pleasing Krishna. So that is the success. We can't measure success in devotional service in exactly the same way as we do for some business success. Here in India, children are told you have to be a success, which means you have to earn plenty of money. That's what it means to have which gives you a prestigious position in society. If you earn money, that's considered prestigious. Vittameva kalo nunam janmachara guno dayaha in Kali Yuga. If one has money, he's considered to be aristocratic. Janmachara guno. He's considered to be very high class. If you have money, somehow or other, if you have money. Doesn't matter how you get the money. This Kingfisher Airlines owner, what's his name, anyone? Vijay Mallya. So his success, he's a big success, but he's from alcohol, selling alcohol, which was, in traditional India, alcohol is considered extremely low class. This is just, you can't even think of anyone who takes alcohol is just, you can't even think of talking to them. They're so low class. But he's made his business out of that. And I've heard he's a very pious man. he's a pious Hindu. He makes his money by selling alcohol. His airline business didn't go so well. So we shouldn't think that in Krishna consciousness success means how many projects you can run and this and show how many dhanam. This is material success. Dhanam janam sundari. If one has money, followers, and beautiful women at his disposal, then he's considered a success. But in Krishna consciousness, one's detachment from such things and attachment to Krishna, a haituki, causeless devotional service to Krishna. Causeless means no material desire. That is the success. Now, in spreading Krishna consciousness, we also want dhana, Lakshmi, for serving Krishna. We also want jhana, we want to bring people to Krishna consciousness, including the sundaris, including the beautiful women, which transcendentalists, usually men, and they don't mix up with women. But for preaching, we have to bring in all kinds. And women are at least as eligible for devotional service. Actually, I'm going to give another lecture on that. That men are more suited for self-realization and women are more suited for devotional service. That might sound contradictory. I plan to speak on that in some time. So, but then we have to be very careful and not judge that, oh, this is a great devotee because all this and this and that. Well, it may be. If someone is bringing many people to devotional service, but it may not be also. It may be that's mixed with some material desire. So really, although Varnashram means a system to accommodate people's not very gross or sinful material desires, but to accommodate material desire to some extent, and at the same time engage people in devotional service. So it's a very delicate thing, because we're dealing with opposite propensities. But those who are going to take the lead in this, the pioneers, they're going to have to be very selfless. Because if it started with those who are taking the lead being wanting any personal aggrandizement, then it's not going to work. Or it might work superficially. Just like there are many temples in our movement which run on efficiently, but everyone's paid, so although things go on nicely in some ways, but if everyone's paid, then it can't be pure devotional service, because there's some other motive is there. It's how do you balance all this? In many temples, traditional temples, the pujaris, well, they need something to live, they're householders, so they get accommodation. They have ancestral property which belongs to the deity, but their family, generation after generation, lives in those quarters. And often they get a share of the prasadam. There's lots of prasadam cooked, and the different families get a certain quota of it. And then they not only the pujaris, but are there so many people serving in the temple apart from the pujaris? There may be water carriers and this and that, and they'll get prasad, and then they'll sell that to others. Or from the temple lands, they'll get so much rice, one mun, which was about 40 kilos, or so at every harvest or whatever. But now the temple lands are always occupied by squatters, and the government's taken it away and all this kind of thing. So then what to do? Give them some money. But as one temple president told me, he made a system for paying the pujaris, and then a couple of days after Janmashtami, the pujari put in a written request for overtime payment, because it stayed up till midnight on Janmashtami. Legally, he has a right to do so. They're paying. It's all according to government system. So he put in a requisition. That's the word, requisition for overtime. So anyway, We have to push on with this. Varnasham Gurukul. Real Gurukul. It's easy. We can put the sign Gurukul, but actually having a Gurukul on the line that Srila Prabhupada wanted to is not easy, but it should be done. So we plan to push on with this. We're not sure exactly how it's going to manifest, but there is a desire to do it. And from that desire, even though there are some setbacks, Krishna willing, this can go forward nicely in Krishna's service. So far, the other two Gurukuls that were set up by devotees associated with myself, one in Gujarat and one in Tamil Nadu, they're going on quite nicely and steadily. So let us learn from the difficulties, not be discouraged. Whatever difficulties we've had, in fact, not only in this project, but we could say whatever difficulties all the devotees all over the world in all their services have had, we can always take inspiration from Srila Prabhupada, who went through so many difficulties to bring this mercy of Krishna consciousness to us. And there were setbacks, and it appeared that he was going nowhere, and he was just idealistic, and people who knew him, they might have said, well, after Jhansi followed up, just see, you know, what old man, why is he wasting his time, all this preaching and this and that? People may have criticized, his own godbrothers or family members may have criticized, why is he doing it? They're almost happy that his efforts in Jhansi didn't work, so that they can criticize. So Srila Prabhupada wasn't discouraged by this. So we should also not be discouraged. Well, it's natural to be discouraged, but we should rise above that by transcendental knowledge and go on in Krishna's service. Hare Krishna. Any question about this? I'm not going to take any like pointed or personal questions, but general philosophical questions. I've spoken about this particular project, but in a general philosophical way, so we don't have to get into, well, he did this and they said that and all this kind of thing, which takes away our energy and causes all the problems. Yeah.
You were giving an example of bringing Ganga by Bhagiratha.
Yeah.
So you took many generations to bring Ganga.
Mm. So it took many generations to bring the Ganga. So does that mean we should just, well, okay, now we'll just lie back and drink some lassi and we'll wait for future generations to bring the Ganga, to establish Varnashram. But they were trying in every generation. It's not that they stopped trying, they went on trying. So we should go on trying. Whoever tried was benefited by Ganga, by meditation on Ganga, by contact with Ganga. Yeah.
The purport to this verse, we have become a non-sustainable life, that your little endeavor done on this path saves one from the greatest danger. And the greatest danger is to fall back into this cycle of degraded species. So you say that it's also for jnanis and yogis, or just for the.
It's also for, is that being saved from the greatest type of fear also for jnanis and yogis? Well, it appears so from the purport that we read today. Yeah, anyone who's actually following the Vedic path of jnana or yoga, they're not going to take an animal birth. Generally speaking, unless they make some serious offense or whatever, but generally speaking, pious people don't take lower births. Even the karmis, they won't fall into a lower birth, although they're more liable to, because their process is not so developed. But jnanis and yogis, they don't fall down to the lower species. Bharat Maharaj and Indrajumna Maharaj, how do we understand their exceptions to the general rule? But they're also delivered ultimately. Otherwise, generally a meditating yogi, he doesn't get degraded to a lower species. But in both cases, even though they went to a lower species, their self-realization went on. It wasn't stopped. In the case of Indrajumna Maharaj and Bharat Maharaj. Yeah.
We hear that the species animals, especially in Dham, they are there because of their offenses and they get liberated after that particular.
Yeah, we hear, I don't know what the Shastra Praman is, but certainly Srila Prabhupada said that, which for us, we accept that as good as Shastra Praman, but that animals like dogs and pigs and monkeys in Vrindavan, they have taken birth in that situation. There were humans previously who committed offenses within the Dham, so they've taken that birth, and then after that, they'll have that's retribution for their offenses, and then after that, they will be liberated. Yeah. Better do offense and take birth. If you have such an attitude that I'll do some offense and then take birth in the Dham, we're not going to get the mercy of Krishna like that. That's grossly offensive to the Dham to think like that. It's just like if you think I'll do some sin and chant Hare Krishna. That becomes a greater offense. Even in Karma Kanda, if you think I'll do some sin and afterwards do some prayaschitta, some atonement, the atonement doesn't work. If you do the sin thinking later on I'll do prayaschitta, it doesn't work. Or it becomes much more, the offense becomes much more grievous. Like Indra killing Vritrasura, and demigods told him, don't worry, we'll arrange an atonement for you later. But he really had to suffer a lot because of that. That mentality makes it much worse. I've heard stories of someone goes to live in the Dham, and he lives there in his old age, and then just when he's about to die, his family take him to Delhi to hospital, and then he dies in the hospital. Because the family don't want to, they don't want to be blamed for letting him die without proper medical care. Although proper medical care can't help you. In Haridas Thakur, he played as if dead after being beaten in 22 marketplaces. So one of the Muslim rulers said, okay, now he's dead, bury him. And the other Muslim, there was the Nawab and the Qazi, and the other one said, don't bury him like a Muslim, he's a Hindu, he's become like a Hindu. Throw him in the Ganga, and that way he'll go to hell. If you bury him, then he'll be saved as a Muslim. So don't, just throw him in the Ganga. Throw his dead body in the Ganga and let him suffer in hell. That's their way of thinking. Hare Krishna, one more question? Yeah.
In our moment is gone, will a guru or Srila Prabhupada will be pleased if a disciple is doing all the services like chanting 50 rounds and everything following four regulative principles, but never for a moment is thinking seriously about how to establish the Varnashram?
Will Srila Prabhupada be pleased if a disciple is chanting 16 rounds and following four regular principles and never thinking about Varnashram? Well, I can't read Srila Prabhupada's mind, but definitely he's pleased if anyone follows the four regular principles and chants 16 rounds. His emphasis in service may be somewhere else, in book distribution or deity worship. It's not that you go to hell for not thinking of Varnashram. There are other services also. Should a person be in a leadership position in ISKCON if they're not interested in establishing Varnashram according to Srila Prabhupada's desire? I would say no, because leader means he should know what the mission of Srila Prabhupada is and try to execute it. Even if one's specific field of leadership is in restaurant management or book distribution, book production or whatever, one should be aware of it. And so it's not so suitable to be a leader within Srila Prabhupada's movement if one doesn't know where he wants to move to, or he wants us to move to. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.